Welcome to the Cherryleaf Podcast. In this episode, we're going to look at what are sometimes called knowledge-centered support systems. So these are the systems where when somebody goes to raise a support ticket, they can also do that, but also receive advice and information that might answer their question there and then without them having to wait for a support representative to come back to them with some suggested answers. And the type of tools we're talking about are tools like Zendesk and arguably tools like MindTouch or Jira in combination with Confluence and Kentico. And we've received a number of emails asking for our opinion and advice on this recently. So let's read out a couple of emails that we've received just to explain the type of questions that people have about these systems. What's your opinion of Zendesk and MindTouch? Someone in our company thinks it might be a good idea to explore the idea of moving our help content to one of these systems. Have you heard of anyone doing this and then using it in a way for single sourcing? I'm getting the impression it's not possible to easily move the content, single source, or create attractive looking content. And we had another email. Our boss wants us to consider the idea of merging our help content and our knowledge base, which is like articles, support troubleshooting, and so on. Whether this is our content going into the knowledge base or vice versa, we're not sure in terms of direction. Do you have any opinions on merging article-based content like this into a help authoring tool or help content into a normal website like that? I'm currently thinking it's going to be better to keep these separate, but the issue is that then there is online help, support knowledge base and a community site, and it may be confusing for users which one to go to sometimes. So I think it's worth us looking at the pros and cons of these types of systems and ways in which we can maximize the advantages of these and minimize the disadvantages. So one of the main drivers for having a system like this is a belief that the model of people getting stuck and reading a manual isn't working, that people don't have the confidence that the online help or the paper manual will have the answer to the question they want, or they can't find it, or they simply think that it's going to be faster to use another channel to get the answer that they want. And it can also be for other reasons, that they believe the reason why they've got stuck is because the system's broken and therefore they need to report it. They want to have a conversation with a support person. And the way in which these tools work is you go to raise a support ticket. And on that page, when you're raising that support ticket, up might pop information that could say something along the lines of, "We found solutions that could save you time." And it's a set of links to typically articles written by support people that relate to the words that you've used in your support ticket. And in some situations, they answer the question. You don't need to wait for the person to respond back with the answer, and you can get going. You can solve your problem in that way. Sometimes when you raise these support tickets, that information is sent to you by email rather than by appearing on the page or in addition to appearing on the page. So you might get an email saying, "We've allocated this to a support person, they'll get back to you in X hours. In the meantime, try this solution, see if this works." So the promise of self-service support and tools like this is it's more efficient. People find the answer they need quickly, so they don't have to wait 24 hours or 48 hours for a support person to respond. And it saves money because you don't need a human being to answer that question. It's done automatically through the software. And in theory, customers are happier. They get the answers they need quickly and efficiently. And these types of knowledge-centered support systems have been around since the 1990s, as I said, with support teams documenting their knowledge. And the idea is that a number of support calls come about and they're recognised to be on the same theme. And after three or four incidents, it's decided to capture the knowledge of the answer from the support people, structure it so that it's in a way that's easy to read, reuse that information when other incidents appear, and ideally improve the answers over time as more information comes about, more edge cases, more exceptions. What's sometimes called solve and evolve. Now, if you document it early, then the majority of the calls related to that topic can be addressed by this article. If you document it late, then only a few will only be those that benefit from this answer. So what are the pros for doing this? Well, one is the articles, the information relate to a real problem, a support ticket, an issue that somebody has had. And also that when the person writes it, having solved the problem that the user, the customer had, and then it's captured and documented, it's really a byproduct of solving a support call. So let's look at some of the other pros. Because these tools are web pages, what you are able to have is web analytics to see which are the most popular articles. You can, again, because it's web-based and often using a wiki-like editing environment, you can track revisions to the article. And as well as providing that information when somebody's raising a support ticket, you can often in these systems have a method by which the answers can be emailed to people as well. And the authoring environments, by being wiki-like, often provide the writers, these support people, with a simple authoring environment. They're using often artificial intelligence to determine what are the best answers to the questions that people have. So rather than people necessarily navigating from a home page or from a start page in a help file or a manual and looking for the information they want, it's providing, like a search engine, an attempt to provide the best answers to that particular question. The analytics can also help in the design process for future products, identify where there are problems in the application. Often the information is published immediately. And another idea is what you might call tribal knowledge, that information that may be kept within the experts, within support's brains, is recorded, is put down as text, is taken out of people's heads and shared amongst other people. Some other benefits are spin-offs of it being in an HTML system, a content management system of a form. The content is searchable. The web content can be customized and changed by look and feel. So let's look at the case against. In this situation, what I'll do is I'll highlight some of the issues that have been reported by users of tools such as these. Now, because we're talking about a range of tools, some of these limitations might apply to one tool, but not to another. But before we do that, let's begin by looking at some more general issues across these type of platforms. So one issue can be that you're no longer single sourcing, that you're having your content in the KCS and you're having your content in your help file, and you've got to balance and keep the two maintained. Your requirements may become more complex. You may need online content and a PDF version, a foreign language version, a version for the Lite product and the Pro product, a version for version 1 and a version for version 2. And there may be issues in managing that complexity in a system like this. The advantage of having a loose authoring environment, such as a wiki-like environment, can encourage people to write and make it easy for them to write, but it can also lead to issues around keeping consistency, particularly in using semantic data. A more fundamental problem is that the concept of articles to solve people's problems goes against the evidence from minimalism that when people get stuck, they don't want the equivalent of what you might call a Franken article. Being browser-based, there may not be the capability to write content off-site, or if you're writing the content in a tool like Word, there may be limitations in importing that content well into the system. With a help authoring tool, you're able to reuse content in more than one place. You can single source. You can have a warning or a legal disclaimer, write it in one place and then apply it in different topics. That may not be possible in some of these tools. And also a help authoring tool is very good at managing the links to making sure that the hyperlinks within the system go to real pages. If pages get moved around, that the links still work. And often these systems have a set way of working, and it may be forcing you to use a layout or an information model or tagging that isn't ideal for your particular situation. One issue that users do complain about is they like the ability to have content that can be dragged and dropped in a tree-like structure. And a number of these tools don't have that capability. They're quite rigid in the way in which the content is organised. You've also got to consider workflow and working with drafts and going from a draft article being reviewed, approved, and then published. And there may be limitations when before an article is published for the user to view that draft alongside the live pages to see the additional content that's been added into the existing structure. And it may be difficult to add anchors or hyperlinks between draft pages that you're composing. And there may be limitations over the editing environment, what you can and can't do within that, whether you can resize tables, how you manage images. We may also need to challenge the idea that people will write this content, that the subject matter experts, the people in support, are willing, able to write content. And we assume with wikis that they will be like Wikipedia, that there will be a great deal of content created and that collaboration will happen. But that's not often the case. In Wikipedia's case, only 1% of those people using Wikipedia actually contribute to Wikipedia. This is often because writing requires insider knowledge. It requires knowledge of the subject matter, and it requires knowledge of how to write good content for end users, understanding concepts like minimalism, topic-based authoring, and those aren't taught at school. High writing standards are not common. And there can often be a reluctance for people to put their name or associate their name to an article. They don't want to lose face. If the article has errors, factual errors, is incomplete, is badly written, then people don't want that associated with themselves, and therefore they can be reluctant to start writing. So we have a model which works well in some regards in answering people's questions in an efficient way, but can lead to inefficient processes, contradictory information. So can we retain the advantages and minimise the disadvantages? And there are a number of ways in which we can do that are emerging. One is to have the articles written by a professional technical author or professional technical writer. And there's one company that has been doing this, a company called SurveyGizmo. And this is a concept of just-in-time documentation rather than what you might call a help file or a manual, just in case documentation. So rather than focus on documenting what the software can do, the focus is on what users want to accomplish and what they can't figure out for themselves, and to document that. So it's a much more reactive approach to writing. In the case of SurveyGizmo, when somebody raises a support ticket, and it's answered by the support staff, when they come to record and close down a call, there's a field in the system where they can mark and say, document this. And that's for situations that are generalizable. They weren't a unique one-off, but may occur for or may happen with other people. That generates an action for the technical author. The technical author takes some of the knowledge and expertise that was written or captured or can be shared by the subject matter expert, by the support person, and the technical author writes that up using the best writing practices. This means that every article is written in a consistent way, it's written using minimalist approaches and standards. So when you do need to describe exceptions, they can be hidden away, layered away through hyperlinks. You have the most effective information, most important information at the top of the page rather than buried at the bottom. Much more task-based information rather than articles. And if users are prepared to wait for that content to be written, then that may be an approach that you could take. However, I think the biggest change that we're likely to see is to have content published into these systems via an API. And platforms such as Zendesk have APIs. What this means is you can use professional authoring tools to create high quality content and then publish that into the Zendesk platform. So you can use these tools to maintain the consistency, have the metadata, organize the content as you want, and not rely on Zendesk or similar tools to provide that. It's also possible with tools like Madcap Flare to import your content into platforms such as Zendesk. This isn't strictly an API approach, but more an import approach. So you would need to do your import on a regular basis. But it is another way of ensuring you have high quality, authored, well-structured, well-tagged content. We may also see these systems evolve into being chatbots so that you are interacting with a system similar to Zendesk or another knowledge-centered service, but actually you're querying, you're reporting an issue to a chatbot and it's giving the responses back. And we've looked at some of the ways in which chatbots can provide technical content to end users. So to summarise, we can see that these type of platforms provide users with the information that they need at the right time, and it can help reduce the cost of support to end users and improve the quality of support to end users as well. However, these systems do need to be maintained and the content needs to be validated. There needs to be some sort of editorial role. There needs to be some way in which you have content that is consistent, that is findable, that is reliable, that is accurate. And that means you need to look at the right tools and the right workflow. And that may mean integrating the platform that's delivering and providing this information to the end user with another system that enables you to create high quality content. If you've got any experience of using tools like this or comments, do share them with us. You can email us at info@cherryleaf.com. If you've got other questions relating to technical communication that you'd like us to address in the Cherryleaf podcast, then do also email us info@cherryleaf.com. We'll provide links in the show notes for some of the topics and articles we've mentioned in this particular podcast. You'll find those at cherryleaf.podbean.com. Also, request if you could like us on iTunes or on YouTube, then that will help other people be aware of this particular podcast. Thanks for listening.